Welcome to the May 30th, 2014 Drupalize Me podcast. Drupalize Me. Hello, everybody. This is Addison Berry. I am your hostess for today's podcast. And I have with me two fine bots. I have Sally Young.
Hello.
And Joe Schindler.
Hello.
That's back-to-back podcasts for Joe. Whoa, dude. So the reason I have these guys on the podcast today is we want to talk about web services, and specifically the services module, which is the most common way to kind of do this with Drupal sites. So we're going to talk about what that is and how all that stuff works. Before we hop into that, again, quick news, stuff coming up. Honestly, I don't have a lot here today, although, well, anyway. So in terms of videos that are coming out, we have started the next chapter in the Using Drupal series. So Using Drupal is an O'Reilly book, and I'm a co-author of that along with Angie Byron. And we have been working through creating videos for each of the chapters. So we're up to chapter 5, which is doing review site with Amazon module and five-star module. So that is in progress and should be wrapped up next week, I think. But the big thing next week is DrupalCon. It's here. DrupalCon Austin happening next week. Everybody's getting on airplanes heading that direction. We're going to be there. Drupalize Me has its own booth at 402. Lullabot's going to be there and have a big booth on the end as well. We have a lot going on at DrupalCon, so I'm just going to kind of run through this real quickly here. But Monday, we have a workshop breaking down component-based web design. At the time this podcast goes out, I don't know if we'll have any seats left, but if so, go check it out. We don't have that much space left in the course. So, but this is going to be able to, basically we're going to talk about front-end development. Like, how does that stuff work with your Drupal site? How do you look at, like, how do you break a site down into the components that you need? It's going to be working with things like SAS and Compass. And it's going to be a little bit of presentation-y and lecture stuff, but we also have a bunch of hands-on activities to actually work through a bunch of things. So that's on the Monday. Also on Monday, actually, I'm going to be at the Community Summit, which is an all-day event to work on community things, like actually work on them, not just talk about it, but things to help make our community better. You do need to register for that. It's a free event on Monday, but you do need to register on the DrupalCon site, just FYI. And then, of course, Tuesday through Thursday is the actual conference, and we have sessions. Joe is speaking twice. Sally, are you speaking, or...?
I am not, but I'll be eating lots of barbecue.
Yes. Austin. I'm so excited. We were just in Austin a couple months ago for South by Southwest, and I'm looking forward to going back when it's a little calmer and eating all the food again. Although I have to say, I don't know. I hope like June in Austin is not like boiling. We'll see. Yeah. Okay. And then, yes, there's even more. But wait, there's more. Lullabot party is happening Wednesday night at the Handle Bar. So come by, hang out with the bots, a whole bunch of people, have a party. It's going to be a lot of fun. And then on Friday, you know, Friday's the sprint day. So all day people get together and just work on Drupal stuff together as a community. And in the morning, we have a Get Involved with Core workshop to walk you through the basic tools for contributing, sort of getting a local development environment set up, understanding the basics of Git and all that kind of stuff that can be really overwhelming and confusing. So we'll have a whole workshop set up for that. Cool. So that's my news. DrupalCon's kind of like most present of mine. And I'm sure that we will be having a little bit of a podcast summary afterwards, maybe. Cool. Well, so let's get into our discussion for the day, which is web services. So people are always like, does your site have web services, or my site needs web services because we need it to talk to things or something. So what exactly is the services module, which everybody always refers to when they start talking about Drupal and web services? What does the services module do like, what is a web service?
I think there's a lot of question, but so the services module for Drupal allows you to just install the services module and mostly through a point and click interface start to configure and assemble an API for your site or a web service. The services module lets you take the data that Drupal knows about things like nodes, users, taxonomy terms, and return them as structured information. So maybe a JSON data. So you could have a JSON representation of a node or an XML representation of the content of a node, making it easier for things that aren't humans to read the data and make sense of it. In addition to that, so you can expose data so it can be read, but services also handles different actions that you could perform. So maybe create a new node or log in a user. All of those kind of interactions that we as humans can do with a Drupal site by clicking on links or filling out forms and clicking the submit button. Services provides a way for applications, robots, non-human entities to interact with Drupal. And I think that we hear about services module in particular the most. I want to say it was the first, if not one of the first, modules to create sort of a all-in-one, install this module, and you can now access your content via an API or a web service. So it's become really popular for people that are trying to do things like, say, build an app for accessing your website's content. Drupalize Me has an iOS app and a Roku app, and in order for that to work, we've got the services module installed. It serves up XML data that the Roku can then request the information, parse it, and turn it into what you're seeing on the screen there. So kind of at the end of the day, it's mostly a point-and-click interface for creating those kinds of things, and then also an API that you can extend to if you have your own custom entity type or you have different actions that you want to perform that it doesn't provide. You can do so with services and kind of implement their API.
So is it fair enough to say, like, just in terms of web services, that, like, my Drupal site, like, the default output, the default way of interacting with it is through HTML, which is sort of designed for a human to see in a browser. And the web services is basically just putting that information out in other formats that machines prefer to consume?
Yeah, I think that's a totally, like, fair way to describe it, is it's attempting to serve Drupal's content in a non-HTML format. Mm-hmm. So that it can be interacted with in other ways. The primary example being apps, but it's HTML has a lot of information that's intended for, like, the browser to render in such a way that it's representational of, you know, color or position on the page and that kind of stuff. And that information is really hard for a computer to read and make sense of. And so a computer might see, oh, the content of this field, or your browser might display the content of this field with a green box around it, which somehow indicates this isn't more important than the other things on the page. A computer can't really read that green and make sense of it. But if it's in a structured format like JSON, for example, you could say, here's the body of the node, and here's its content, and here's the special field and its content. And, you know, as a programmer, I can very easily have access to that data and understand that, you know, because it's here, it means something different.
Cool.
So kind of like if you took your Drupal theme away, it would be everything that the editor actually put in would be all that you're left with. But you can process it and do interesting things with it as well. So it doesn't necessarily have to be exactly what the user put in to your application.
Yeah, and maybe that's part of the fun of it too, is like having it in a format like JSON or XML. You're kind of leaving it up to the person who is reading in that data and doing something with it to decide, well, in this particular use case, what's it going to look like? You know, the classic example is, you know, what if you had the internet on your fridge? Your Drupal website, like, the content might be different if it was displayed on a screen on your fridge than on a browser. And so you're kind of allowing people to remix your content and your application in all kinds of different ways.
Cool. So oftentimes when people talk about services and stuff like that, this is sort of a little bit of a side thing, but I think it's relevant, and that is, I often hear people talk about a restful service. So I guess there are several questions there. One, what is a restful service? Is that something the services module provides? And is that the only thing it provides, or does it provide different kinds of services?
It provides lots of different things. Actually, in the new version of services, I think 3, they've rehauled the REST server. It's really, really nice. So REST is just an architecture style that lets you expose all the state and functionality of your data as a set of resources. And then not only can you read that data, so you know you could go in and see all the nodes on your site, but you can also manipulate that data as well through REST. Mm. So each node, for example, would have its own unique URL, and you could access it at that URL, and then you could decide you want to edit it through that. Mm. So you could send up a new title that way, or create an entire new node if you liked.
I often think of like REST as the way that the two devices are talking to one another. So maybe like a good example would be REST or XML RPC or any of the other like SOAP, the languages that an API can speak in that sense are the envelope that the data is being sent in. So Drupal has a node and it needs to package it up as JSON, and it puts it into an envelope, and then it needs to send that envelope to your app or to whatever thing is consuming it. And there's lots of different ways you could send that envelope. You could send it via the postal service. You could send it via FedEx. You could send it via carrier pigeon. So REST is one example of a way that information is transferred from one source to another. And it's right now, I would say it's the most common or one of the most common ways to do that. Partially just because it's really, really simple compared to some of the others like XML RPC. One of the awesome things about the services module is that it comes with a REST server built into it, like Sally was saying, for services 3. But you can also download additional modules that extend the services module. So if you needed a SOAP server or XML RPC, depending on your particular use case, services module can be extended to support those as well.
Cool.
Yeah. Okay. And REST doesn't have to be just JSON either. It can work with all kinds of data, like Joe said. So HTML, XML, JSON, if you like, really. And the nice thing is, because lots of people use it, then it's very interoperable. So you'll probably find a bunch of nice REST libraries that you can use to kind of drop in and build your application with. And the other important thing about REST is that it's stateless, which means that you should only have kind of one communication to do whatever it is that you need to do, which means that it's very cacheable, and you can have all these like multi-layered intermediaries that reroute things around and nerdy things like that.
Cool.
I just like it because it's easy too. Like I've had to work with both REST and like SOAP APIs, and oh man, like trying to understand, like, okay, I need to make this request to a SOAP API, and it's like, I always feel like I'm working with a black box, and all I get to do is like throw things at the API and see what comes back. And I'm like, oh, nope, that's not quite what I wanted. Whereas REST is kind of like, just give me that resource. And then you say, thanks, that's exactly what I wanted. It contains all of the data.
Whee! Yeah, I've heard my wife working with SOAP before. Didn't sound pleasant. so we said, right, so there's this like pointy clicky interface kind of a thing. So I'm assuming you don't actually have to be a developer to turn your website into a web service, as it were, because you can do all this configuration-y stuff. But are there development aspects to it, or like is it really pretty much just pointy-clicky, and then the development is on more of like the consuming side, like your app that you're building or something?
You can do development with it. And actually, the thing I love most about services is that you can create your own endpoints. So when you install the services module, you'll see you're given a bunch of default endpoints, so node, for example, or file, so you can access everything through there. But if you want to create a more specific API. So for example, if you were delivering the videos and you only wanted to deliver some of the video fields out, or you wanted to process them, do stuff with that, the services 3 API will actually let you create your own endpoints. For example, with nodes as well, you'll end up with these weird field names. So it'd be like field underscore video underscore ID. Whereas
it's like if you do like print R on a node object and then turn and that like, into JSON. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's got a really easy API, so you can fix that. So you can actually make really legible output, which is cool.
So maybe like you don't need to be a developer to get started with it. Like you can totally just install the module and turn it on and do a little bit of configuration and you've got a REST endpoint that you can access, but it's pretty easy to start tweaking it and totally worth it. Cause like Sally was saying, it's, you know, most applications, we totally do this with Drupalize Me. Like the amount of data that is needed for our system to sort of compose in the web page what a video is a ton of information that the apps just don't need. Like they need a URL for the video to play and they give that to the video player and they're done. So there's no point in us sending like tons and tons and tons of extra information over the wire that's not ever going to be used.
Right. It's basically creating a nice clean targeted API versus here's all the data, have fun.
Mm-hmm. But I think a fun way to start too though is you can just like turn the module on, configure a couple of things, and then just, you know, make a request to get a node in JSON format, and you can start to see what's there. And for me, at least, I typically like to do that first and then kind of use that as a, now I know what all of the possible things are that could go in this canvas. Let me start to compose what my ideal request would look like.
Yeah. So what other, so far it sounds like service is pretty awesome. Are there other aspects about services that are like other suite features
that you should point out? It does authentication. I'm not too familiar with this. Maybe Joe knows a bit more, but I think it has auth two-legged and three-legged.
Yeah, it does. I think that it has a session-based authentication built into it. So it's like just a standard exchange your username and password for a session ID and then include your session ID in every subsequent request to the API and you'll act as that, or Drupal will treat you as if you were that user. And then with, so I haven't set this up in forever, but I think you can, the services module comes with an OAuth handler, but it doesn't work unless you also install the OAuth module and a couple of other dependencies. But once that's all in place, yeah, you can do what is it, like three-legged OAuth is kind of what we're used to with things like Twitter or Google apps, where you like sign in with Google or sign in with Twitter and it does the little pop-up and kind of the whole redirect handshake, and then two-legged OAuth, which is the more just like I have a set of API keys that I want to exchange for authentication.
Hmm. Cool.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, so all these awesome things, what are the limitations of services, or are there any? There must be. But what would be the frustrating parts of using services?
Tumbleweeds. It must be amazing.
It's really that it's awesome, perfect. Right?
It's odd, actually, that the things I've run into with it have actually not really been services' fault. Mm. It's been trying to get my external application to communicate with my API. And it's usually silly things like cross-origin resource sharing is not configured correctly. And actual server setup seems to be the biggest stumbling block for these kind of things, I find.
I find that especially as a beginner, the documentation for services can be a little bit lacking or just tough. Like you don't have a documented API to start out with, which makes sense because the structure of everyone's site is different. Like, you know, Drupalize Me has different content types with different fields than say lullabot.com and, you know, then the Grammys or whatever the case. But one of the things that can be really tough when you're first starting out with services is just understanding what's there and what requests you can make what data you'll get back from those. You can go and you can turn on all of these different things in the UI, but it doesn't really give, it doesn't illustrate like, okay, you check this checkbox. That means you can now make a request to this URL with these specific parameters, and this is what it'll return. That part can be a little bit challenging. There are some additional modules that you can install that will help to try to document that a little bit better, but I find that it's also largely just playing around with it. And to some extent, being able to read the code for the services module or like the resource that's being implemented and see, okay, for the node resource, it looks like if I want to create a new node, here's the fields that I could pass in and so forth.
Gotcha.
But, and maybe it's just, to some extent, that stuff is impossible to document for everyone because it's different depending on your specific Drupal site.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, there's lots of things about Drupal, right, that are really hard to document in that way.
Right.
Yeah. Are there alternatives to services module, or is it pretty much if you're doing a Drupal site and you want a web service, you would use services, period?
There's a module called RestWS, which I've not really used very much. It doesn't seem quite as configurable as services, but its REST implementation seems more complete. And as far as I understand it as well, all the work that's gone into that module is moving, has gone into Drupal 8 as well.
Aha.
So, yeah, I've seen that one as well. And I guess I thought that it was almost a backport of sorts of the REST functionality that they've been putting into Drupal 8. But it is like... So it provides a REST server. Like Sally said, I think that as a REST server, it maybe makes a little bit more sense than what's built into services, but it has far less configuration options than services does.
Right. It's a little more. And so would that make it just generally more sort of like code-oriented? Like if you really wanted to get in to do stuff, there's less interface, or is it just really just not as flexible, period?
I think it's more like it doesn't, for example, provide authentication out of the box. Gotcha. It doesn't have like, you know, you basically turn the module on and it's like, cool, you can get your nodes as JSON data, but you can't configure it to say, when I post to the service to create a new node, I'd like to do it as XML or JSON. And I would like to post in a, you know, URL form encoded format, where services module is capable of understanding all kinds of different request types and is configurable in that sense.
Gotcha.
And this was a while ago that I used it, but maybe I didn't spend enough time with it, but I couldn't figure out how to make these kind of customized endpoints either. And that would sort of make sense because I guess the module is trying to make a pure REST service for Drupal, but for the API I was building, I didn't really want to expose Drupal's internal language. Like they, you know, people consuming the API don't really care what a node is. They're just interested in videos or whatever it is.
Right.
So it kind of like built on the concept of taking anything that is an entity and being able to serialize it as a REST endpoint. So it extends, say, the entity API and makes it that, you know, when you do a node load, you can node load and then return it as JSON instead of return it as a themed page.
Gotcha. So speaking of like this in relation to a backport from Drupal 8 or related to Drupal 8 stuff, like have either of you looked at what is happening with services stuff in 8? Because there is going to be more stuff baked into core, right?
There is. I haven't looked at it a ton. I've read about it and I've heard other people talking about it. And I, my understanding is that it's, again, largely like because of the fact that the entity system in Drupal 8 has been improved quite a bit, it now is able to kind of tack on to the entity system. And anything that is an entity can also be serialized as JSON and delivered via a REST API. So if you're writing modules for Drupal 8 and you are creating custom entity types, you automatically get the ability to have those pieces of data serialized and used in a REST interface just by enabling the REST module, as far as I know. I haven't actually tested that myself.
Gotcha. Yeah, But I imagine even with stuff baked into Drupal 8, there's still probably going to be a services module for Drupal 8 in terms of extending what Core is offering, because I have a feeling that Core's not going to have everything under the sun. And we actually do have like a podcast we did a little while back with Klausy to talk about a little bit about the REST stuff that's going on in Drupal 8. But I know that it does have, a fair number of limitations in terms of it's in Core, and they're not going to try and put like all of services or something like that into Core. That would be quite a huge undertaking.
Yeah, I assume that services or something like it will exist for Drupal 8. So the example there is Drupal 8 has a REST server in it, but it doesn't have support for SOAP or XML RPC right. or any of these other formats. And that's one of the great things about services is it's sort of a bit more agnostic about that. And you can, and those, you know, while REST is maybe the most popular, those other things certainly have a place.
And sometimes that's just what you need to use for whatever use case or business case you have with other stuff.
Yep.
I mean, just is. Yeah. Cool. Do you guys have any other thoughts about services module that you wanted to make sure you said?
I wanted to point out that services has, if you install the views services or services views, there is another module that provides support for accessing the content of a view via services. And I find that can be a really powerful way to extend the services module and do some really cool mm-hmm. stuff. Sally was talking earlier about how you can really easily write your own endpoint and, you know, expose only the fields that you need or only the data that you need via the service. I've found that you can do a lot of that using this views integration. So you could say create a new view that has a contextual filter of, you know, when somebody's at node/1, load that node, include only these three fields, and have that become a services endpoint. So you can do a lot of that, like custom composition, still right through the UI, which is pretty cool.
Nice.
I think though, and this is why I ended up writing my own endpoint, it doesn't support multi-fields. So if you've got a field that has more than one value, then it doesn't seem to work, if I recall correctly. Please feel free to correct me.
I don't think I've ever encountered that scenario, so that could very well be the case. So far, my experience has been like, I'm going to make a thing that exposes the node title. Ta-da!
It works! Cool. We talked a little bit about documentation and such, but do you have suggestions for learning more about how to actually use services and navigate those waters?
I feel like I'm required to plug the fact that we have a tutorial on Drupalize all about the services
yes, there's
module,
that.
which I happen to help record. So I would definitely recommend people give that a look. There's a couple of free videos at the beginning too that do a good job of kind of explaining what the services module is and why you might want to use it and some of the alternatives. I would, in addition to that, and maybe like not really services module specific, but I would encourage people to read up a little bit on like how REST works and different tools that you can use for testing a REST service. And I've found that in order for me to get a better understanding of how the services module works, it's been really helpful for me to, you know, even just use curl to make a request to the service and see what happens. Well, it's like, if I request this node as JSON, what happens? If I request it as XML, how does that work? And it's not Drupal specific knowledge. So there's lots of tutorials about that out there. I would recommend looking into that.
There's a really nice Chrome plugin called DevHttp Client that's definitely worth checking out.
Cool. All right. We'll add a link to that in the podcast notes as well. And then, like, is there just, I mean, services documentation, like, on Drupal.org or, like, in, like a readme
Yeah, there's
or something?
A fair amount of, if you go to the services project page on Drupal.org and, mm-hmm. you know, follow the link for the documentation, there's a good amount of documentation there. The services module has been around for a long time and been through a lot of iterations. So there's a Drupal 5, 6, and 7 version of the module. And so when you're reading through the documentation, just be aware of that, because mm-hmm. some of the documentation is a little out of date, or it might not be exactly the right, like, name of the button is different right. in this version of services. But for the most part, the stuff that's there is still true.
Cool. All right. Well, we should probably wrap things up. Do you guys have any other parting thoughts on services or anything else? This is your moment.
Yeah, if you find something lacking in the documentation, if you have a Drupal.org account, then you can add to it. So please go and do that.
Yes, for sure.
And I would just encourage people to, like, install services and play with it and give it a try. And, like, it's that whole, you know, the web in general is moving more towards services-based architectures and being able to allow apps and things that aren't browsers to access your data is pretty cool and opens up all kinds of possibilities.
Nice. Cool. Well, thank you both for coming on the podcast. And for our listeners, if you guys have questions from this podcast or ideas for other topics you would like to hear about, you can always leave a comment on the podcast page itself, obviously, in the comment section. But you can also reach out to us through various social media. We are on twitter.com/drupalizeme, facebook.com/drupalize.me, or drupalizeme without the dot in the Facebook URL. Yeah. You can just go to drupalize.me/contact for our contact form and send us an email that way. But feel free to reach out to us, ask questions, give us suggestions. We're here for you. So until next time, happy Drupaling, everybody. See ya!